I've always liked human bones because, I mean, when you look at something, you're like, wow, that's inside of me, you know? There are three or four different ways you can clean skulls. One is you can leave them outside and naturally let the animals and nature and bugs and all that stuff take care of it. But the problem with that is you have to deal with predators. I actually picked up a fox off the side of the road and left it under a metal milk crate on my grandparents' farm, and the coyotes came in and actually pulled it apart outside of the crate, and I lost all the bones. So that was kind of out.
Matt Nuga lives in Rossville, Georgia, in a quiet neighborhood. Sometimes he makes knives and jewelry, selling them at markets around Chattanooga. But Matt also makes money by playing with dead things. Literally, that's what his business card reads. Playing with dead things since 1984. And on the other side of the business card is a pair of ornate cleavers with the word skull cleaning underneath them. It's actually a really cool business card. But back to what Matt was saying before, there's a number of ways to clean a skull.
Or what's called maceration, where basically you take a 5-gallon bucket or a container and you set the skull with the meat without the flesh, and it builds up bacteria over time and makes the meat fall off the bones, which is really gross and stinky and takes like 3 or 4 months. Another way is you can boil the skulls, and whenever you boil the skulls, the meat just falls off of them. But it can also warp the bone if you get it in really extreme high temperatures.
So Matt learned a way to clean bones that doesn't involve bacteria or boiling. Instead, he uses...
Beetles were the other way. Plus, it's kind of cool, man. I mean, how often do you meet people? Like, yeah, I've got a freezer full of flesh-eating beetles in my house. Want to come over? You know?
The Dermastead beetle, also known as the carpet beetle, commonly feeds on wool or dry foods like flour and pasta. This type of beetle can infest your home if you don't clean your closet or pantry regularly. But Matt Nuga intentionally keeps a whole colony of dermasteads in his house because they also eat dead tissue of other animals. Keeping beetles in your house may seem unusual. However, dermastead beetles have been used in American museums to prepare skeletons since the 20s.
I'd always been interested in taxidermy, and I'd always been interested in bone and skull articulations because I had been collecting skulls in the woods and fields and everywhere for a long time. So
Matt searched the internet and learned about these flesh-eating beetles, and he found a seller of the bugs in Alaska. When he received his beetles, his family didn't blink an eye.
My family and my wife really don't, I mean, think anything about it. I mean, come on, I know you guys can't see me, but look at me, you know?
Matt looks like a guy who keeps flesh-eating beetles. He has a gigantic beard that literally hangs past his neck. His arms and legs are covered in tattoos. Inside his house, he's converted a sunroom to hold his beetle colony. The room has 8 windows, and each of them is covered with emergency Mylar blankets to keep the heat out of the room. The beetles are held in a 15-cubic-foot freezer.
You can do this in an aquarium, you can do it in a cooler, you can do it in a Tupperware container if you want, but the amount of quantity that I want, the amount of beetles that I need to do larger specimens, they kind of outgrow the container. And also, the reason for the large container is if you clean an elk, there's a huge rack, antlers, deer, stuff like that. You need to be able to accommodate that.
Matt's freezer has a special ventilation system. It's kept warm, not cold, because the temperature of a beetle colony needs to be between 70 and 80 degrees Fahrenheit.
So basically the way it works is it pulls cold air in from the outside or warm air in the summer. It heats the air as it comes in and it vents it outside, so it keeps the smell of, you know, dead animals out of your house.
What do you get the gloves on for?
Because, I don't know, I'm kind of a germaphobe, believe it or not.
He opens the freezer that holds all of his beetles.
All right.
And picks up a skull from the colony.
So this is a bobcat that I started cleaning yesterday. And they're still working on that. I'm doing this for a local taxidermist.
That's a bobcat skull?
Yeah. And this is a coyote skull that I just cleaned and actually finished the other day.
Wow, the skulls are a lot.
As Matt shows me the skulls, the beetles try to hide from the light, going deeper into the bone's recesses. The beetles are no larger than a fingernail, while the skulls are smaller than I expected. It could be because there's no body, hair, skin. But the skulls, can fit in the palm of my hand. A lot of the skulls Matt cleans are used for what's called European mounts. Imagine the mounted animal heads you've seen in hunting lodges and living rooms, but without the skin, hair, or fur, just the skull itself. That's a European mount.
The skull articulation, the bone articulation in itself is kind of like a work of art, you know what I mean? I mean, just the fact that you can have something that nature created that stands the test of time, that's not, you know, flowers die and all this other stuff. I mean, what I do is actually take the animal and make something out of it, you know? I've done a lot of squirrels. I've done a lot of deer. I've got an alligator coming in. I've got two bear skulls, and believe it or not, bear and bobcat skulls are pretty exotic to me, I think. I mean, how often do you see a bear or bobcat, you know? But I mean, I won't deal with anything that's poached. I won't deal with anything that's hunted out of season. Anytime I get something like that, I always make sure that I've got a what's called a game tag. After you kill the animal, you have to tag the animal, and I make sure that everything's on the up and up with that.
Because Matt removes the coyote skull from the beetle colony. The Dermisteds have had their way with it for the past 3 days.
I'm going to take it out and I'm going to put it in a bucket of water and see if there's any little critters living in it. And then I'm going to start the degreasing process.
The process of cleaning a skull goes like this. Dermisted beetles eat the flesh. Then you must dip the freshly cleaned skull in alcohol, afterwards leave the skull in a degreasing solution for a week or so, and finally use peroxide to bleach the bone into a beautiful white.
So where are we going now?
We're gonna go to my basement slash garage and check out the freezer that actually works. Dungeon.
That's good.
In Matt's basement garage are some tools, a motorcycle he's built himself, and a freezer full of garbage bags.
So, in these bags I have two white-tailed deer skulls that are ready to be cleaned.
There are frozen coyote and bobcat heads in the freezer, and something Matt calls mystery bags.
That I get from my taxidermy friends, and these are coyotes. This, believe it or not, is actually his Labrador. no joke.
So what was he going to do with it?
I think he just wanted to mount it. It was like his favorite dog, and being a taxidermist, I mean, I guess it's not really weird, you know? I brought a bag home, and my wife's like, what is that? And I was like, coyotes, bobcats, and a lab. And she was like, what? I have two English bulldogs, and trust me, I would love to see what their skulls look like. Some days more than others. A lot of people are like, wow, that's really weird, but most people just make jokes about it, and that's kind of it. But I mean, I don't know, I've always been into weird things, like I said, you know, most of my neighbors don't really know about it. People have been so freaked out forever about death and about, I don't know, just what happens after life. People don't really know, they're kind of afraid of it, you know. And a lot of people see a skull and they're like, oh no, you know, and like they kind of freak out. That's the same.
Matt says his interest in what happens after death started when he was younger, growing up around a family of farmers and hunters.
I don't know, as a kid growing up on a farm, like you're around death, you know, and you're around bones. And I don't know, like I kind of admired the way the Native Americans used every part of an animal when they would kill it. I mean, I deer hunt and I dove hunt and I fish, but it's not for sport. It's not because I want to go out and, you know, brag about killing the biggest deer. I really hate to see waste, you know?
Right.
I'd rather go out in the wild and take something, you know? Kill something, give it its time to die, respectfully, and then, you know, harvest every part of it that you can.
Using Dermisted beetles to clean bone for a living has actually given Matt Nuga a philosophy about life, about spirituality. It may be a little strange, but what do you expect from someone whose business card reads, playing with dead things since 1984?
And I think there's a lot of beauty in decay, if that's possible. I mean, if you look at rotting logs, moss grows out of it, you know? I mean, if you look at animals that die, I mean, you know, the bones that are left over. I mean, it's a perfectly geometric, like, you know, sculpture, if you will, that's natural. And it's just something I've always been interested in. I do believe in God, not necessarily maybe the typical Southern, you know, Bible Belt version of it, but like, I mean, if you look at nature and you look at, I don't know, just the symmetry in the skull and I don't know, the way things are formed and grow, like, it's just amazing to me, like, something awesome about it. And like I've always said,
before I leave Matt's house, I ask him if he'd allow someone to do something with his bones when he's gone. Maybe use his skull for a European mount. Without thinking, he says he'd be okay with it, that he doesn't want to live in a box for an eternity. He doesn't want his bones going to waste.